All right, the Audible's on the air. Kimbo Camper, Sam Madison with you. Sam, it's a holiday. It's a holiday. They got us in here working on a holiday. What's that all about, man?
Happy MLK Day,
I'm trying
everybody.
To do my part for the country. I'm trying to be out there and, you know, support the MLK Day and, you know, in parades and everything that's going on. And I get the call this morning, we got to come to work, man.
Well, I went and helped. I dropped my kids off to my wife. I helped her set up, and they doing the little walk. She texts me, it's like, I'm halfway through the walk, and I'm already tired. I was like, better you than me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, the other thing, so I'm in my off-season mode, so I'm trying to work out a little bit.
Yeah, man.
So I'm going to the gym. You know, I get to the gym, you know. I got to admit, this is my first day at the gym.
hey, that's your New Year's resolution. That's You're back in there. Yeah. You're back in it.
And you know what the funny thing is? I was going to go the day after New Year's on the 2nd, right? But I couldn't do that.
Yeah, no.
Because then you become that guy that, you know, oh, here you go. All the amateurs coming in. They're going to work out for 2 days, 3 days, and then we'll never see them again, right?
Hey, listen, Bo.
That's the lifeblood of these gyms, man.
I'm so proud of you getting back in that gym because I'm definitely not going back.
Yeah.
I'll stay out on the pavement. And I'll just run.
Well, you know what, Sam? I'm telling you, you know what my problem is? I have a hard time getting motivated going to the gym. And I tell people, they go, man, why don't you just go to the gym? I go, yeah, I know that. I just can't get myself to go to the gym. And they go, no, it's great. I go, yeah, great. I go, how long have you been working out? He goes, I've been working out the last 10 years. I said, I've been in the gym my whole damn life.
Thank you.
I've lived in the damn gyms.
Thank you.
I've been in musty gyms. I've been in nice gyms. I've been in half-assed gyms. I've been in gyms that you don't even want to walk into. I've been in those gyms my whole life. I don't want to go anymore, man.
And Kim, like for me, I remember when I got released, you know, by the Dolphins, yeah. and now I had opportunity to go to a regular gym. I was like, I was mortified
there.
You know, not only on top of, you know, people around me, they're sitting there watching you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out. You know, we're here. We have somebody, and it's repetition.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. I'm on the bench, and then I got to go and spot my teammate.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, some
it's
person
always,
waiting.
Always doing
always
something.
Always doing.
Yeah.
And then some people just sit here just talking. Like, man, I can't do this, man. So here's I just went and used my property and made my own little gym.
Well, that's what I need to do. I need to figure out something like that, but I'm too cheap to do it. The other thing is, you know what? Another problem I have with going to a lot of gyms, unfortunately, you know, I go to Terry Kirby's gym.
Yep, TK.
And TK kind of keeps it clean in there from a standpoint of this, but I used to go to like one of these other gyms, and you know what I saw all the time sitting on the machines?
On the phone.
Sitting on a machine, and you'd be standing there waiting for the phone. You know,
on the phone pedal.
They're just sitting there on the phone, and you kind of like walk like, by. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm waiting to use that. And then they hang up the phone, and they go, I got 3 more sets. You know, it's bullshit, man. I got to get out of here.
They'll spend over 2 hours in that
gym. It's crazy, man.
Like I tell people, man, you need 45 minutes,
in and
high
out.
Impact, nonstop, moving, getting everything in that you really need, and then you out of there. So the kids that I'm training and all of these college kids, listen, man, y'all, we all that time, but really you need 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's it.
And pounding
and stay
it
hard.
Out and getting it done, and then you're out of there.
I do 15 minutes of hard intervals on the bike.
Yeah.
You know, get it up to about 18, you know, on the thing and go. And then go do my, I'll do like a today I did like, I did a dumbbell bench press. I did I don't know what you call these things.
Yeah, flies.
I did flies. Yeah. I did some incline. I stretched coming in, stretched going out. Out the door.
Breakfast.
And 45 minutes. I left a little early because I didn't realize you had to do this noon. And I wasn't going to miss breakfast. I would rather miss the gym than miss breakfast. So I slid in, got a little breakfast on my way, feeling pretty good. So anyway, that's where I'm at right now. Trying to get the off season. It's hard trying to get your off season. Sam, you know how it is. We get during the season, you got in that routine.
You're in that routine.
You know, he's got this day, that day, that. And then all of a sudden for me, once the season's over, I got nothing to do.
Nothing to do.
And I'm waking up wondering, man, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do?
But then
a lot of times I go, I'm going to go back to bed. That's what I'm going to
do. Sleep in. But I think you'll get your rhythm, man.
No, I'll get it.
You'll get it.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Sam? I just got to get back into a routine.
You know,
once you get the routine going, it's easy once you get the routine. It's getting back in the routine is hard. But once you get it going, then it's easy to stay along.
But it also is just like when you played. When you play, you're in it for those 16 weeks plus, and then all of a sudden, soon as it's over, you're like, man, listen, Don't call me. Don't text me. Yep. I'm about to take this week or two off. I don't want to hear nothing about football.
Yep.
And then I'll start doing something on top of that. Yep. You know, you go and get all your movies and you binge on all the different movies and you catch up on everything and relax in your bed, eating pizza in the bed and all those different
things.
Getting
a little fat, getting a little chubby, getting a little soft and everything.
Yeah, man.
Eating all the stuff you couldn't eat during the season.
So you're just getting into it.
I used to, you know what I used to do? I used to, during when I play, I used to, once the season was over, I stuffed myself like a pig every Wednesday night.
Trying to get
Well, no, because remember, you know, I don't know about you guys, but we always had weigh-in on Thursday morning.
Oh, we were Friday.
So Wednesday night was always the day you had to, you know, and I was always up against weight, you know? When I played linebacker, Coach Shula gave me a weight of 245 pounds. I was 6'6", and he wanted me to weigh 245 pounds. And so every weigh-in, every Wednesday night, I was either – well, for a lot of times, taking water pills and trying, you know, I was going that route, or trying to like walk or run or lose that couple pounds, and then you have to get in there for the early weigh-in, right? Get in for the early weigh-in, you jump. Oh man, I'm a half over. Get in the sauna, sweat it out, then finally weigh in, and then boom, make a beeline to the Egg and You or somewhere, get breakfast. But
listen,
so to me, Wednesday nights during the off season, I was out. It was quite the opposite of the regular season. Was fill it up on Wednesday nights.
No problem with weigh-ins for me. Hey, just put what you want down there.
Yeah.
I'm under.
You're good. Well, so I was 245 when I played linebacker for 5 years at 245. Coach Shula called me and said, hey, we're going to move you to defensive end. I said, well, Coach, you're gonna move me to defensive end. You're going to have to give me some more weight.
Yeah.
But I'm playing with the big boys now. He says, okay, let me think. He says, guy, you got to, you know, Coach, you got a pad.
247.
I'll give you 247. That's exactly what he said. I said, 2 pounds? What's 2 pounds going to do for me? I'm playing against guys that weigh 310 pounds. What are 2 pounds going to do? He goes, all right, 250, that's it.
Absolutely.
So the rest of my career, I was 250.
Yeah, man. So
I had the same dilemma on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, like with that too.
Yeah, so most of the time, people always, when they saw me, they were like, you're not Sam Madison. Yeah. I was like, okay, if you say so. He's like, Sam Madison's like 6 foot, like 200 and something pounds. I was like, no, all you're going to get is 5'11", 175 pounds. That's all. That's it. That's it for me.
Oh, shoot. Anyway, hey, Sam, so it's a great day of football, a great weekend of football. I yesterday I had the chance to just I went and we did the show in the morning down at CBS, and I came home and man, I stopped on the way home, got me some burger, made me some patty melts. I make the best patty melts in town, by the way. Had me a couple of patty melts watching the games. Didn't get off the sofa. Didn't get back in my car. It was one of the greatest days of the year for me, man.
That's it. You know, for me, I didn't have opportunity. You already knew I was up at 5 out there getting the little kids going with the Dade versus Broward Youth All-Star Game. But, you know, watching that phone, because having friends that are tied into the games and the situations. And, you know, we went on that show and I made some prediction. Yeah. I didn't win absolutely nothing.
I think I went 50-50.
Yeah,
I think
you took the Vikings.
I took the Vikings and barely scraped by on that one.
Yeah, barely.
And I took Pittsburgh, so I was 10 seconds away from being 0-2 myself.
So now all of a sudden you look at these teams that get in that those bye games, it comes a situation to where, you know, I want to get into the rhythm. I want to get into that mold. And you look at Jacksonville, they got into that mold.
Yeah.
And you know, took a recipe out of, bringing Tom Coughlin in and having him in that situation and putting that team and knowing that they're going to be on the road, those guys, they weren't afraid. Yeah. They didn't back down. And early on in the season, I think they ended up beating them, right? And some of the players, they took, you know, the words that the Steelers said, oh, we want to play them again. Yeah. And guess what? You got that opportunity.
You asked for it, you got it. But I tell you what, I always say this, Sam, and you're the same way. You know, we're always so tied into the Dolphins game.
Yeah.
And I'm always at the Dolphin game. You're always at the Dolphin game or at the studio.
You don't really get a chance to see everybody.
So I don't see other games. So, you know, I'll see highlights or you kind of – and
correct.
Maybe you catch someone on a Thursday night
you're
game
right.
or maybe Sunday night. Usually by Thursday night I'm done. I've seen enough football. Let me move on. So I really didn't see Jacksonville very much. I knew they had Leonard Fournette was playing real well for them. I knew their defense was good, but man,
correct.
I tell you what, I didn't realize their defense was that good.
Yeah, they fly around.
I mean, Calais Campbell's crazy. Mm-hmm. The kid they got from, the linebacker 44 or 45, whatever his name is, yeah. Miles Jack? Mm-hmm. Or is that, was it Miles Jack or who's the guy they got? Anyway, that defense is, that's a lethal defense they got, man.
And the one kid, you know, because he's a Florida State kid, Ramsey, a lot of talk about him just to be able to go one-on-one with Antonio Brown or whoever the number one wide receiver, you know, just having a chance to follow him, you know, as cornerbacks. Yep. You know, we try to follow the kids that's playing extremely well and doing a really good job. Man, they fly around. They're able to play man-to-man, and when it comes time, they're able to go to the zone coverage and use that big defensive line. Calais Campbell, I believe,
From 93 came from the University of Miami to Arizona and then to Jacksonville. Yeah.
And, you know, to having those big guys up front to be able to, you know, at least make the ball bounce a little bit outside, because that zone running scheme with Le'Veon Bell having an opportunity to get that slow handoff and then all of a sudden find that crease. These guys, you have to have those big, stout guys in the middle and make that ball keep bouncing. One more hole to allow that linebacker to get over the top of those big offensive linemen. Yep. And that's what they did. Yep. And, you know, to go out there and have it, 45-42, a high-scoring game like that, you didn't think Jacksonville could really do it after being at home last week and winning, 10-7 or something? Well, to expect that I didn't see that coming.
I'm watching that Jacksonville game, and Jacksonville gets out to a quick lead. And I think it was 17-0 at one point, right? Correct. And then Pittsburgh came back, you go,
I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Tide's going to roll these guys over. But you got to give Jacksonville a lot of credit. They were resilient. Mm-hmm. It looked, you know, the momentum had changed, clearly changed against their favor. And they just kept playing and made plays. I thought the Achilles heel for him was going to be Blake Bortles. Mm-hmm. And he came up with enough big plays.
Using his legs.
To keep him going. That's right.
Using his legs. Like I said, you know, just watching it on my phone throughout the course of the day and understanding what Blake, that is what he did when he was in college. And that's why the Jacksonville Jaguars selected him in the first round, because he was able to keep plays alive. And now you have a big bruising running back. You have some playmakers out on the edges and a phenomenal defense. You know, it wasn't a lot of phenomenal defense being played yesterday in those points. But, you know, you give yourself a chance when you have a quarterback to be able to get outside the pocket, keep plays alive, and then guys making plays for you. That's the most important part. You know, quarterback keeping guys' drives alive, a guy coming up and making plays, and then a hard-nosed running game. Fournette, one of those guys you can get the ball to 20, 30 times, and he's not going to get tired. He's only going to wear you down later on in the game.
Yeah, and that Jacksonville offensive line, give them a lot of credit, because when Fournette went down, and they still kept that running game going itself. Yep. But the game that the game that was just outrageous was that Philadelphia game. Philly the Minnesota game.
Minnesota.
that New Orleans, they got to be – They've still got to be shell-shocked. 10 seconds left in the game, no timeouts. You got absolutely no shot to win this game. And, man, how the kid can miss a tackle. I mean, miss a tackle. Didn't even touch a shoestring from the guy.
Well, just watching and over the last 4, 5, 6 years and the way that we've been teaching tackling, especially from the youth all the way to the pros, heads up.
Yep.
Guess what? You got your head down. Yep. You can't see anything. But, you know, Kim, as defenders, you know, you dread those days when you know that it's a big bruising running back coming through there and you have no choice
but to sit there and
step up. And you're going to get ran over sometimes.
Yep.
And I was telling my friends, I was like, this is one of those situations where I don't mind you guys talking bad about me by getting ran over. Yeah. I'll sit in that film room all day, but guess what it does? It gives us an opportunity to ultimately have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to take that one, and y'all, you can run over me, and I'm going to be holding on. You can be dragging me down the football field all you want, but the time is going to run out. I'm going to keep you in bounds. Yeah. And we're going to win the football game and have what we always look forward to is to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Yep. But, you know, to be in a play in a situation like that, and I understand that you're a rookie. You've been doing this since you've been 8, 9 years old.
Yep.
You need to know the down and the distance and what the situation is. Situational football. I can't let anything get behind me, especially from a safety standpoint. Even though you're running cover two, you have guys that's going to corral to the ball.
Yep.
Just keep him inside and in front.
Yeah, even if you don't keep him in bounds, even if he goes out, you know, like I was talking to you before, look, really all that guy had to do was make contact. That guy. Just make some contact with, even if it was an arm or whatever, just enough, because any contact, first he was stumbling to begin with.
Correct.
Any contact may have put him down, but more importantly, any contact probably would allow the cavalry to come up and make that play and not let the guy get into the end zone.
And Diggs, you know, he said it after the game. He was like, you know, I was expecting to get hit, and I was really trying to catch the ball so I can get my feet down and get out of bounds and give us an opportunity. But he just completely whiffed, and this is one of the fastest guys in the National Football League. There's nobody going to catch him. And then on top of that, but we always talk about it. You can't take out your own player.
Yeah, right.
He took out the cornerback who was pursuing the ball and had opportunity to catch him, but he took him out as well. So, you know, the game is over, and the fat lady sung.
Yeah, and I tell you, that's something he's going to live with the rest of his life.
Absolutely.
Man.
People want to talk about that for a very long time.
Let me tell you what, my man, if I was my man, I'd get out of New Orleans for a while. Because, you know, every time you walk out, every time you go to a store, a gas station, whatever, they you know, you're the man and you're going to hear about it. And it's a shame for the guy. It's a shame to be, you know, be in that situation.
Listen,
but, hey, that's part of the ball game. That's part of the game,
Kim,
man.
I dread a play from my junior year in high school.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
I still think about that play to the day. Yeah. So for him to have this happen to him as a rookie – it's going to be with him for a very long time.
You know, Sam, it's funny you say that, because my mother-in-law at one point, because this was back in the, you know, I played back in the, when the VCRs were just getting going, right? So my mother-in-law got a VCR, and she used to record all my games. Mm-hmm. And so she gave me the VCR, all the tapes. And I had tapes of almost every game that I played in. And then my wife, for one of the my birthday or whatever, could have had them converted all to DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So I got them all on DVD. I haven't watched one of those games, and I'll never watch any of those games. Because you know what? The only thing I see when I watch those games are the mistakes I made. I don't care what plays I made. I don't care about those.
It's the
ones I missed.
Right.
Man, they, to this day, if I watch a game and see a missed tackle, you know, getting blocked by somebody, it just eats me up, man. I can't see it.
And people's like, Sam, you know, the Super Bowl or your last game of the season, every last game of the season, guess what?
There's only one way to leave that game.
I'm not watching that film, period, point blank. It's over. It's an afterthought for me. I'm not going back and looking at one thing. I know some plays in there that I made some good plays, but I do know some bad plays in there, and I don't want to see them.
The first year we went to the Super Bowl in 1982, lost to the Washington Redskins. And we came back in 1983, and the first thing we did on the first day of training camp was put that tape on and watch that game.
And watch it.
The first thing we did.
Yep. So guess what?
Yeshua gets up and he goes, hey, we're back. Turn the lights out. Boom. Flip the tape on.
So guess what? My high school football team, guess what's going to happen on the first day? We're watching the last play that we did.
That's right, man. No doubt about it, man. Hey, the other thing, Sam, we're going to get to your questions here in a little bit, but I want to talk to Sam for these playoffs. And Sam, so you've had the opportunity. You played in your Super Bowl. You won a Super Bowl with the New York Giants. I had the opportunity of playing two with the Dolphins. We unfortunately lost both, one to the 49ers, one to the aforementioned Washington Redskins. But, Sam, I want to ask you, the feeling that you got – with the Giants when you won that playoff game, because you guys came in as a wild card.
Yeah, we was a wild card.
You had to win three games.
We had to win three.
So, but when you get to that divisional or that AFC or that NFC championship game, and you realize at that point in that game, we won this game, and you're going to the Super Bowl, any better feeling? I forget being married and kids. That's a given.
Yeah.
But from an athletic standpoint, any better feeling in your life than that moment right there?
Well, Kim, having a
you won one too, so that
you know, for me, you know, playing at a small high school, and you know, we wasn't very dominant in the 1A division, and then going to college to Louisville, we did go to a bowl game, but you know, it wasn't one of the top tier bowl games. It was a game that was played before Christmas, because I was home for Christmas. And winning a few playoff games here with the Dolphins, one of the things leading up to our run, okay, so like I said, have an opportunity to play here in the playoffs, I knew that it was going to be a lot more on the plate. The game is going to be a little bit faster. It's going to be less mistakes, and you had to prepare. And talking to the guys, like, guys, y'all know that there is nobody else playing football.
That's
and
it.
We're the only guys that's on
that's
TV.
That's the only seeing it.
College is over.
Yeah.
And these are the games that they're going to be watching. So to go to Tampa, win that game, and after that, we had to go to Dallas, where we lost to those guys twice during the regular season. And then to go play Green Bay in Green Bay, where everything was stacked against us. It was a situation to where the guys like, listen, guys, they wasn't even expecting us to make it this far. Yeah. And I'm looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars right now.
We're playing on house money right
now.
And
I'm looking at the Jaguars and Minnesota right now. These are two teams that's playing like, hey, we have nothing to lose. Yeah. Nobody expected us to be here, but let's go out and let's shock the world.
Yeah.
And that's how we took that approach. We wanted to go out and shock the world. The week 17, we ended up losing to the New England Patriots at home.
That's right.
We had opportunity. We had them down in the last few minutes. Tom Brady and Randy Moss make a play down the football field. We just said, man, we just want one more chance. Yeah. One more chance at them. And we were able to beat Green Bay in that freezing. Oh, my God. It was like negative 23 degrees. And we was able to come out victorious.
You warmed up pretty quick when that game was over, though, didn't you?
Absolutely. We was all over that football field. Like, nothing ever happened. Forget about it.
You walked out there before the game started. Man, I just got to can't wait to get back in that locker room. After you won the game, I'm not going back in there for a long time.
And nobody didn't want to take off the clothes or nothing before. But it was good. And it was fun. And it was a bonding experience for the players. But nobody really believed us. We were a whole bunch of guys just put together, and you know, older players, veteran players, some guys with big names, and the rest of our guys were just household names that nobody really knew about.
You know, we know it's funny. There's a couple things. One, and like the Dolphin players, you wish they would get the feel of this. It really is all about the postseason.
Correct.
You play the regular season. Those games are important, but those games are important to get you to the postseason. When the postseason comes around, like you said, all those other teams are done. And now you're the main – you guys are the main show on TV. And I remember I had a buddy of mine that played for the Detroit Lions. And he played for the Detroit Lions as long as I did, as long as I played for the Dolphins, about 10 years. And I remember afterwards we were talking. He says – and we'd go places. He goes, man – Because you go places, people recognize you. So how do they recognize you? You're like in, you know, we're in Colorado or something. Some guy recognized you. I said, well, you know, because we played in a lot of playoff games, man. I mean, we were all, you know, we were always in the playoffs, always moving through the playoffs, played in championship games, played in Super Bowls. And so you're the only show in town.
Correct.
So you become a bit of a household name.
Yep.
And you kind of wish you could, I kind of wish you could say to these players, hey, you know what, the payday, you work hard. You work as hard as any other team in this league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can find that little extra, because that gets you to payday. I'm not talking about cash.
Yeah.
I'm talking about getting to the postseason, moving through the postseason, getting to a championship game, getting to a Super Bowl. Man, that's the cream, and that's what you play for, and that's what people are going to remember you by. What went on in those games?
And you know, there's really no. For as monetary gratification everybody's making the same amount of money. If y'all don't know, everybody part doesn't really care.
I'm sure when you played, now it was different when I played, but I'm sure when you played, you lost money playing through the playoffs, right? Right?
Absolutely.
They were paying you cheap money. You were cheap labor. You were a high priced labor during the regular season.
And guess what?
Play, didn't matter.
We didn't care.
Didn't care. No.
We didn't care.
Didn't care.
And guys were like, listen. And for some, it was a whole lot more money than they made during the regular season, doing for 1 week.
If you're a free agent, if you're a special teams guy, free agent, a fringe guy,
that was big money for you. Yeah, no doubt. We were saying, guys, if you keep doing this, you'll make more money in the next game.
Yeah.
So come out here, let's work hard throughout the course of the week, and then let's go and let's put it all on the field on that Saturday or that Sunday. Yeah. And guys took that to heart.
Yeah.
Weekend is like, Sam, I just want to make one more check. Yeah. And these are these guys that's down the totem pole on the football team. And they went out.
Yeah.
They worked their tail off throughout the course of the week to have us prepared. Those scout team players, man, it's phenomenal. Yeah. You know, the work that they give you to get you prepared throughout the course of that playoff run. But you're right, Bo, man. The playoffs is where you really make your money off of the football field for the rest of your career and the rest of your life, because you're seeing more throughout the course of the time. Right now, it's only going to be a few teams on television, and they're going to talk about that player, this player, that player, this player, and those are the only guys that they're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. And then if you get onto the Super Bowl, you're going to get two weeks they're going to be able to talk about only those 100 players for the course of those 2 weeks and highlight you in a fashion to where if you go out there and you perform and win that game, more is going to come for you.
You know, the funny thing, and I think about this every year at this time of the year, and particularly watching the games over the course of the weekend, is the value of winning your division and getting a home field advantage and a bye.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at New England, I'm looking at Minnesota, I'm looking at Philly, and it would have been Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh gonna do it.
Yeah.
You know, these other teams played in the wild card round. You win one game, you're in the championship game. All you need is one game, and boom, you're one game away from a Super Bowl.
One game away from it.
And I remember the first year we won. We won our first playoff game. We had a bye week the first week, won our first playoff game, and then you were sitting there going, "Man, we win this game, we're going to Super Bowl."
Yeah.
What? You know. But getting the huge advantage is that bye week and home field, man, that's a dream come true, man. And you know, that's where this team needs to strive. This Dolphin team needs to strive not only to be a wild card team, but to be a team that has some home field advantage and could possibly get a bye week. That's getting the biggest cake on the table right there.
Yeah, and then you know there's less pressure placed on you. Yeah. You know, to have to do the traveling and have to worry about if it's going to be cold, because this is where when you have to hit the road. And I remember a lot of times for Tampa Bay when they had to go on the road, it was always going to Philly. Yeah. Man, did you see Philly and all that snow and all that cold?
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Bucs were never ready and prepared for it. Now, when Gruden came, they were able to get over that hump.
Yeah.
But to get out of your element and go to somebody else, it's really, really tough for those teams. But you're right, man. You want to be able to have – I never had the opportunity to be in that situation. Yeah. We came from the bottom all the way up, and we barely backed our way in. And, you know, I don't care if you back your way in or whatever the case may be. And we saw that with the Dolphins last year. They were able to back their way in and got their foot and dipped it in the toe in the water a little bit. But you're right, man, to be able to, throughout the course of the season, build that resume up and ultimately get that home field advantage where you're nice and relaxed and everybody and everything has to come through you. You know, you're in a position.
Especially that, you get that 2 weeks off where you get healthy and everything. Yeah,
absolutely. It gives you that little burst of energy that you need for that team that's coming in there that just won the game before. Yeah.
Let's get some of these questions, Sam. Yep. Bill Schoonauer from Facebook. Three of the four remaining teams do not have elite quarterbacks. Where would Tannehill stack up against them? That's the other thing. You got Tom Brady. You got Blake Bortles. You got Nick Foles. And what's the Minnesota guy?
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum. You got Case Keenum. Who would have thought that going into the championship weekend, you would have Keenum, Foles, Bortles, and then Tom Brady? You got to feel pretty good about New England where they sit right now with these deals, right?
But even with the teams other than the Patriots, look at the things that they had besides Minnesota. Like, Minnesota has a really strong defense, and we knew that coming into the season.
And so does Jacksonville, and they got a running game.
And they have a running game. Those are the two main recipes of being a really good football team, you know, being able to run the ball and having a real stout defense. So, you know, to see Case Keenum be able to come into that system and keep the train moving – as well as Nick Foles. Nick Foles has been in the league long enough. He's made a lot of money. He's moved from team to team.
And he's been a starter plenty enough to where
he's been plenty enough. But you have the weapons around them to be able to just manage the football game. We talk about this all the time with these quarterbacks. If you ever just have an opportunity to manage the game and not screw it up, that is what Foles is doing. Case Keenum is doing, and Bortles is doing as well. So it's just a situation to keeping everything in perspective for as this is the way that we need to go and attack the opposing team. And this is our strong points. This is their weak points. And we need to attack those, and you can be a pretty good football team if you don't have that elite quarterback like Tom Brady.
Yeah, for all those sports guys out, sports talks guys out there that say, oh, he's just a game manager. I would say New England's quarterback, Tom Brady, he's a game manager too.
Absolutely.
All he does is manage the game better than anybody else in the National Football League.
He sees what's going on out there, and he's going to put you in the perfect position to make a play. And he doesn't care, you know, who the player is. He don't care if it's a star wide receiver, it's a star tight end. Whoever's going to have the one-on-one matchup that they saw early on in the week, that is where the ball is going to go, and that is who they're going to highlight in that specific game. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that team's been through so many cast of characters from receivers, Randy Moss to whoever else you can talk to
LeGarrette Blount,
to Wes Welker, to all, I mean, Curtis Martin, all the different faces that have come and gone through that organization. There's one guy that makes every one of them better, and that's Tom Brady. And he's been doing it and continues to do it. Look, I would say, if you want to call anybody else a game manager, I said, if you want to say that guy's just a game manager, well, you better say Tom Brady's a game manager, because that's what he does.
Tom Brady throws the most short passes in the National Football League. Yeah.
And throws the ball away more than anybody. He doesn't see anything. That ball's going in the ground, and we're going to line up and go play for another day.
He's not going to put you in a position, you know, to make a bad play or to put the team in a bad situation. So, you know, he's a game manager as well. And they just been doing it
very high level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Facebook, Rodney Mathis. When does a team start releasing players? I think the team starts releasing players when the NFL season starts. NFL season starts March. I'm not sure what the date
March. The second week in March.
Second week in March. Yeah. That's when contracts expire. I know they've talked about Timmons not coming back. They've talked about Cutler not coming back. They talked about who else we have not coming back. They talked about Julius Thomas not coming back. You know, maybe a question about Juwan James, whether he's coming back or not. But all those guys are still under contract right now. That's why you haven't heard an official release on these guys. But come March, when the new NFL season starts, that day is when these guys will start getting released.
Yeah, you'll see those guys releasing. You know, and even before that, some teams are like, hey, we already know that we're going to do it, so let's just get it off of the book and keep moving. But you know, when you look at these contracts, a lot of these contracts, pretty much both their last football game, they kind of already knew that contract was up. So when you look at a guy's contract, if they was only on a 1-year deal, they have to get re-signed, and if they don't get re-signed, they're just not on the football team. And that's the case for Cutler. Cutler signed the 1-year deal. I'm pretty sure he's already expressed that he wants to play some more. His agent is definitely out there already looking around, knowing that he's not going to come back here with the Dolphins already. So a lot of moving pieces that goes on behind the scenes that we really don't know and have opportunity to, you know, to see majority of the time. But these agents, they're going to be at the East-West Shrine. Yep. They're going to be at the NFL PA Bowl. They're going to be at the Senior Bowl. And the higher-up, the executives, they're there. Those agents are there. A lot of discussions are being made already about a lot of those players. Yep. And 9 times out of 10, you get a heads up because they out there doing that work ahead of time of knowing and kind of figuring out the direction that you're going to be going as a player because that agent has already done some work.
Well, they have started moving, making moves in the coaching staff. Lou Anaramo, the defensive back, they decided not to renew his contract. Terrell Williams, same way, the defensive line coach. He's been released, didn't re-sign his contract.
We bought in an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, brought in offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins from Chicago. And then they brought Jeremiah Washburn back as an offensive line coach. He was here a couple years ago, and he's got experience here. Trey Bay, Sam, any DBs or safeties in the draft that have caught your eye during the college season? I'm trying to get done with this season. I'll start looking towards the college guys here pretty
soon.
I'll start
a little bit later. No, I mean, but there's going to be a lot of guys that's out there, and you just got to find the one that really comes and suit this team. But right now, you look at Cordray Tankersley, you look at Xavier Howard, and then we'll have
Tony Lippett
coming back. Bobby McCain was the most improved, man. This guy, he stepped up big for us, blitzing off the edge, came up with a couple of interceptions to help win a couple of games.
Out as a true corner, and he handled himself well.
Absolutely.
Out there,
So, you know, for us in the DB arena, I don't think that we're going to really go out and try to find a top tier corner or anything in this draft. Maybe you pick up one later in the draft for depth purposes. But for right now, you know, you just got to let it play all out, because there's going to be some juniors that have put their name into the hat that you probably wouldn't know about. Let these games play out. Yep. You know, the Senior Bowl is one of those games where you can find a diamond in the rough, like Jason Taylor.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's what I like about the Senior Bowl is it's all one-on-one stuff, man. You just line up defensive end against offensive tackle, defensive tackle against offensive guard, wide receiver against defensive cornerback, tight end against – it's all one-on-one stuff.
A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to go and coach in the East-West Shrine game, man. You know, in that game, Brian Poole, who is with the Atlanta Falcons right now, he got injured. Yeah. And all he was thinking about was like, oh, Coach Madison, man, I think I hurt my staff. I like, listen, man, you just got to believe in the process. Yeah. Listen, and this kid had opportunity last year to play in the Super Bowl and playing at a very high level throughout the course of this season, making a lot of plays. So you're going to find guys that didn't jump off the board or jump off the screen at you that's going to play a very long in the National Football League that we had no idea about. Well, so it's just fun to be able to watch the process.
You look at the kid from Minnesota, the receiver.
Stephon Diggs.
The other kid, the kid from Minnesota State. So it starts with a T. I don't even know what his name is. Number 18 or whatever.
Yeah.
But
Thalen, I believe.
Thalen, who we saw up in the preseason, and I was talking to a couple of the Minnesota coaches. They said, man, this kid's the real deal.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere, kind of worked his way through the practice squad and kind of got his opportunities and scout team and finally, and the guy's now he's a Pro Bowl type player out there.
He signed a big contract.
I always tell you, look, everyone wants to get drafted high because you're going to get – the higher you're drafted, the bigger bonus you get, the bigger contract you're going to get. But beyond all that, my thought process has always been, once that draft is over, once you walk into training camp on the first day, it's fair game, man.
Fair game.
Let the best man win.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you're a street free agent. I don't care if you where you came from. You know, you line up. Coach is always looking for coaches. I remember every year I lined up when I was playing linebacker, defensive end, I'd stand up there in the front and I'd always turn around and look at me. You see six or seven guys stand back there. And, you know, they all wanted your job, man. You know.
Absolutely. And guess what? In order for everybody to be successful, those guys standing right there, they're breathing over your shoulder, over your neck. Guess what, Bo? You still got to teach them.
Yeah.
Because if anything happens, in order for us to be successful, I need those other three or four guys behind me to be ready to go at the drop of a dime. So you're sitting there looking over your shoulder, still making sure that you're prepared and ready to go. But you got to help those guys as well, because you have been there. They haven't.
Yeah.
They have no idea what the NFL is all about, what to expect.
Yeah.
You can hear and talk about it all the time with college guys that went ahead of you, but it's not the same until you step foot into that facility because every facility is different.
Yeah.
Every team is going to be different, and every year is going to be totally different when you step in to an NFL football season.
No doubt about it. It's a whole different ballgame. Facebook, Philip Rosen, anyone but the Patriots. I really don't care, man. Yeah. You know, my team's not in it. I don't care. You know, I really don't. I don't. You know.
Yeah, that's just like the Alabama-Georgia game, right? Yeah. I'm sitting there, I was like, man, I don't really care. I just want to see a really good football. But I'm just going to tell you that Alabama, they're going to be very well prepared.
Yep, yep.
So, Georgia, you better know that, and you need to play – for four quarters until that clock says 0-0-0 because the head coach of the New England Patriots, the head coach of Alabama Crimson Tide, they're going to have their guys prepared and ready to play for four quarters. So whoever's opposite them, they need to be prepared and ready to go and know that these guys are not going to stop.
Yep.
Oh, man, unbelievable last year's Super Bowl. Atlanta Falcons, man, they had it in the bag. And guess what? Here come those New England Patriots.
Yeah. You know, I it's funny you say You know when I knew that Atlanta was going to lose that game? It was about the third quarter. And I'll tell you, it was when I saw Arthur Blank come down in the third quarter and stand on the sideline. I go, bro, you're jumping the gun, man. You're jumping the gun. Don't be doing that to your team now. Stay up in the box.
Yep.
And as soon as he came down, I remember I was watching him go, uh-oh, that don't bode well for Atlanta. Yep. And sure enough, once he came down here, it started going downhill, man.
I was over some friend's house, and one of the people there, they work for Home Depot. You know, Arthur Blank, he has
started Home Depot.
He started Home Depot, and all she's like, I love Arthur Blank. Let's go, Arthur Blank. Hey. Yeah, Atlanta Falcons. I like, listen, I like, you need to calm down a little bit. This game is not over.
Yeah, man.
And I ended up leaving early.
Yeah.
And just like you, boy, I just want to get home to see the ending of this football game. And I left her. I didn't really say anything to her, boy, but I know she had to be feeling bad after that football game.
Periscope, P-Dog, what do the Finns need to do to be playing in the AFC Championship game next season? Well, look, to me, the Dolphins can go a long way if they figure out how to stop beating themselves.
Yeah.
That's not a big
– pre-snap penalties.
I'm not – I look at this football team and say, hey, look, can they use another draft and some more players? No doubt about it.
Correct.
Can they fill some holes with maybe some free agents out there? No doubt about it. But I'm firmly convinced that this football team has the players on this team that could get that far in a season. But they can't do it if they've got to beat themselves before they go out and try to beat the guy they're playing, the teams they're playing against. It just doesn't work like that.
Pre-snap penalties is one of the biggest thing on the defensive side and the offensive side of the ball. And when you look at the landscape of this roster right now, I like the direction that we're going. Yep. It's a lot of our own players.
Yep.
Over the last few years, you go and you look at the landscape of this team. It was a person from over here. Guess what? Yep. He don't really have no interest. He just coming here trying to gain some credibility around the league.
Yep.
And then I'm gonna have another opportunity to jump and go somewhere else. But the nucleus of this football team is and have been drafted by the Miami Dolphins. So there's a very good interest for them as well. Listen, I don't want to let my team down.
Yeah.
This is the team that drafted me. And listen, for me, Kim, it was like from the time I left high school, I want to make every team in Florida play for not selecting me to come to their college. And then, I want to make every team that passed me up and took those eight corners ahead of me, and I want to make those guys pay, and I want to do it for the Aqua and Orange. And that's the way that a lot of these guys are feeling now.
Yeah.
That's the way that they are building this football team. Yeah, when you look at the nucleus of it, it's team that we – guys that we brought in.
Yep.
And the way that you're going to be successful is having your own – and then bring in pieces from the outside and not really having to depend on them. You are coming in to help us get to where we want to go and us not having to depend on you. So continue to build through that draft. Keep developing our players. And we see Coach Gase already. You know, he's making moves here. He's making moves there to definitely try to make this football team believe in themselves and stop having those bonehead mistakes and know that we have what it takes to get over that hump and beat the New England Patriots with the mindset that we was coming in at the beginning of this year. You need to have that mindset at the middle of the season and then start to take off toward the end.
If you can eliminate 60% of the penalties they had this year, 60%, eliminate 60% of those penalties and limit your turnovers, there's no reason you can't be right in the middle of the whole thing.
And with those penalties, Bo, guess what it does? Either we were in situation to put points on the board,
yeah,
and then having a penalty or multiple penalties back to back to take us out of position to win a football game or give up a have a bonehead penalty to keep a drive alive, and now you wear your defense down.
We had the deadly combination all year long of penalties that stopped you from getting a first down.
Correct.
What plays where you may have 30-yard play down the field. Oh, there's a holding. Here it comes back. All the way back. So you lose the 30, plus you lose the distance.
Yep.
So this team, it killed himself by not being able to move the chains or making a first down and having to come back. And on the flip side, doing just the opposite.
Yep.
Making penalties that allowed your opposing team to move the chains and get first downs and score touchdowns. So you kind of got beat on both ends as far as that concerned. But to me, that's the easiest way to get this team to the top of the heap. Because like they don't, the teams are out there. Although, look, watch these teams are playing in the playoffs here. Take the quarter, and the guy asked about Tannehill. I would take Tannehill over Bortles, Foles, and
Case Keenum.
And Case Keenum in
Absolutely.
A minute. Every one of those guys.
Yep.
So you got a guy that could get you the quarterback to the Super Bowl. If these guys are here, those guys are there. Yep. But it's got to be the other thing that gets done. Anyway, Sam, always a pleasure, my man.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Yep.
Sam Madison, I'm Kimbo Camp with the Audible here. We'll be back on Wednesday sometime. We'll let you know. Just kind of keep an eye on your phone
after
or whatever
your
you watch. After my workout, because I'm going to be back at the gym on Wednesday. I got Pilates tomorrow with a little hottie. And then I got Pilates with a hottie. That works out right. And then Wednesday I got gym, and then I'm back in here at the Audible. Back in here working hard. Just trying to get 25 miles on the bike for the DCC. That's all I'm trying to do.
We're going to start there. I don't know if you're going to end up in front of me or I'm going to be behind you, bro, but I'm going to finish.
I may end up on a tow truck. You never know, but I'll be there. All right, that's going to do it for the program today. We'll catch you on Wednesday. Have a good couple of days. We'll see you then.